Now in chapter 16, we come to the resurrection and the ascension of Jesus. And the bodily resurrection of Jesus is one of the cardinal doctrines of the Christian faith. It's the very heart of the primitive gospel. Every sermon preached in the book of Acts is a message on the resurrection. Every speaker got to this subject, and the early church dwelt upon it constantly. And unfortunately, we only have one Easter sermon a year. He's risen. That's the thrilling message which electrified a lethargic and sinful generation in the Roman Empire, turned them upside down, wrong side out and right side up, and they went out to tell the world about it. There'd be hope today if the church would preach this truth with much assurance, let me tell you. Now, I want you to notice here that this chapter has been one under severe criticism by the higher critics, and very candidly, rightly so. And the only reason I'm going to mention this is because of the fact that there'll be some will say, well, doesn't he know the textual problem that is here because he's passing over it? Well, I'll say to you, I know that it's here. From verses 9 through 20 have been called in question by the textual scholars of both the conservative and the liberal groups, Westcott and Hort. For instance, they omit it from their Greek text. They do include it in smaller type, and Nestle follows the same procedure by separating it from the regular text. And some, of course, the liberal wing, omits it altogether. Now, the better manuscripts omit it entirely. And frankly, the manuscript Aleph, which is one of our best, and the Vatican manuscripts, they end Mark's Gospel at verse 8 of chapter 16. Now, I'm not going into this problem of New Testament introduction. That's not our purpose in studying the Bible like this. I call attention to it just for one reason, to let you know we know it's there, in order that I might say that I treat all of the chapter 16 as the Word of God. Now, without any further ado, let's move into this chapter. We have first the arrival of the women at the empty tomb in the first four verses. Then the announcement of the angel that Jesus had risen, verses 5 through 8. Then the appearances of Jesus, verse 9 through 18. And then the ascension of Jesus, verses 19 to 20. We'll hit high points here. And when the Sabbath was passed, that is now the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. They never were able to anoint him, I'll tell you. It was not Mary of Bethany who wasted her ointment. It's these women that did, because he was risen. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. Now, the Sabbath had ended at sundown on Saturday, and they secured the spices sometime after that in order to make the trip to the tomb so early on Sunday morning. And the same women who were present at the cross came to the tomb. And I think it's accurate to state that the women were the last at the cross and the first at the tomb. The attitude of the disciples was that he was dead, and it's better to stay undercover until after all the excitement had died down and they were no longer in danger. Did they intend to go to the tomb? There's no evidence to support such an intention. None of them intended to visit that tomb. Now, it was very early at sunrise, and these women intended to anoint the body of Jesus with the spices they'd bought. And they were presented with the difficulty of getting into the tomb because of the stone at the door. Now, their difficulty was dissolved by the fact that the stone was rolled away. The body of Jesus was gone. There was a heavenly message with the first announcement of the resurrection. That the tomb was empty is a fact that's well attested and established. The evidence is such that it would be acceptable in a court of law. Listen now as I read. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. He saith unto them, Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He's risen. He's not here. Behold the place where they laid him. He was not there. That was obvious. Now notice, verse 7, But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter, that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, as he said unto you. Now will you notice that the fact of the empty tomb, and we need to put the four Gospels together. Back in Matthew, we went over that. We'll go over it again when we get to John's Gospel, by the way. But all I want to do here is to quote the statement of Lord Lyndhurst, who was High Chancellor of Great Britain back in 1846, and he was also the High Steward of Cambridge, the highest honor that they give. And he made this statement. He says, I know pretty well what evidence is, and I tell you, such evidence as that for the resurrection has never broken down yet. Now, the women here are told now to go and report. Verse 7, But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee, there shall ye see him, as he said unto you. Now the women are to report to the disciples. The angel was surely not waiting for some disciple to come by, as you can see, because he sends a message to them. He'll meet them in Galilee as he promised. And John 21 gives that remarkable episode, which we're to look at later on in this study. Now you can well imagine the amazement of these women. They were speechless. And this, frankly, doesn't seem to me to be an appropriate place for Mark to end his gospel. And they went out quickly, fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. Now, this part is the part that is not in the better manuscripts, yet we believe it belongs in the Word of God. Now let me move rather hurriedly. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he'd cast seven demons. Now you see Mark has made it clear to us he wasn't giving us the chronological order. What he's saying now is that this is the order, Mary Magdalene first. She went and told them that had been with him as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. They did not believe Mary Magdalene at all. After that, he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country. Now, Dr. Luke gives us that walk on the Emmaus Road. They went and told it unto the residue. Neither believed they them. Afterward he appeared unto the leaven as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. Now you see, we have Mark giving us more or less an order of the events after the resurrection. He said unto them, Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. This has been a gospel of action. Now he's telling them to get into action. They are to go. And by the way, he's saying to us today that we should be men and women of action for God. What are we doing today to get the Word of God out? That's our business, friends. You ought to have some part in getting the Word of God out. Now he says, He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And he doesn't say that if you're not baptized, you will be damned. You notice that. That's not essential. I'm not going into details here. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And if you want to accept any one of these sign gifts, then take them all, my brother. And I have a formaldehyde cocktail that I'll be glad to prepare for you if you think you could do it. May I say to you, these were sign gifts at the beginning, and it's important to see that. These signs shall follow them that believe. Now, the evidence today is he that doesn't have this doctrine, it's the Word of God today that's the great sign in this hour. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven, sat on the right hand of God. They went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. That was for the apostles, friends, because that's what we're dealing with here. And I've had to deal with this very quickly and actually so briefly. I wish even in a 5-year course we could spend more time in many of these places, but we must move on. We go back to Leviticus, the Old Testament, next time. Be with us, friends. Until next time, may God richly bless you, my beloved.